and a man nailed to a cross. But may I tell you, it was far from that. I can't help but believe, Brother Dallin, maybe if one of his eyes was about to fall out, his insides, you could see his insides. Blood running down, the thorns that they planted on his head. I believe that might have been his fingers he planted. They just didn't set him up there. They put him up there, Brother Glenn, and they mashed him down. Why? Because sin demanded that there must be a blood sacrifice. What better to give the sacrifice than that spotless Lamb of God? A man who was born that knew no sin, who was no guile found in his mouth. A man that they tried to find fault with, but they could not find fault with. A man that the world tried to ridicule, but become a resurrected Savior. A man that the world talked about and tried to run him down. But may I tell you, he's my redeeming gift. He brought me back from the pit. He brought me out of the fiery tunnel. Yeah. Set my feet on the righteous thing. I'm glad that salvation is not limited to a man's mental abilities.
Yeah.
I'm glad, Brother Dallin, that it's not limited to his financial status in the community.
Oh, yes. Correct. Thank you, Lord.
God says, whosoever will.
Let him come.
Let him come. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the fact that the Son of God bled and died for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, if you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
It's good to be back in the house of God tonight. Good to see you all here on a Wednesday night. I've often said, because of the attendance that we have often in our home church there at Liberty Faith, we have midweek service on Tuesday night. So it's actually not midweek service. It's kind of like beginning to build a midweek service.
Yeah.
Amen. And for various reasons tonight, was privy to the knowledge that you guys have also taken on the Tuesday night for several years now. But I've often said, because of so much going on, and because of people working, and let's just be honest, because some folks don't want to go to church in the middle of the week.
Come on, say something about that.
It's kind of small on Wednesday night. And I found small tonight because my name was signed and everybody else is at their church.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, one of the other reasons why they're there, otherwise we just don't have to worry about
it's all right.
But I've often said that it is the Wednesday night crowd that the Lord, when he returns, is going to catch you away.
Yeah.
When he comes back, that's he coming back after that Wednesday night crowd. Amen. You love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We give honor to your pastor, First Lady, Sister Lewis, and her labor of love here in the kingdom of heaven and Harbor Light. I want to say we appreciate your giving. We appreciate the fellowship we've been privy to, morning after service each night. We appreciate all that you've done for us. A nice place to stay, brother. We appreciate it so much. And my Lord, we're so blessed with good facilities here. We're thankful for that. And last night, after all the preaching and shouting and falling out and crying and praying that went on around those altars last night, Sister Lewis just put the cherry on the top of the sundae. She took us over to her house and served us old-fashioned sloppy Joe.
That's it. It's all right.
Woo! Hallelujah. You're not looking at a steak man. You're not looking at a rotisserie chicken guy, filet mignon guy. I'm not all those things. We'll turn them down. I'm a sloppy Joe man.
It's all right.
Hallelujah. I like a good sloppy Joe. It's good. Yes, thank you so much. And then today, I'll tell you what, the Bible says the steps of a good man, a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. How many believe that?
Absolutely.
Amen. Right around 12 o'clock today, we walked up from a restaurant. And would you believe that David was standing right there in front of that restaurant? And he took us in there and paid for our meal. Now, that's a miracle within itself. But what you don't know is he took us to San Jose's, to that Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, from the moment we walked through the door, through every chip, through all my chicken, all my rice, all my beans, all the tortillas, and all the Diet Pepsi. I just felt the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I stopped there for a minute. Mid-chip. Amen. Some people are pre-chip, mid-chip, or post-chip. I'm mid-chip, praise God. Amen. I stopped and held off on that salsa for a minute. And I said, let's be honest with you, Brother David. I feel like we're right in the will of God being right here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Didn't God give to us?
Yeah.
The Bible says in one place, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich.
Right.
And addeth no sorrow to it.
Come on.
What does that mean exactly? That means that when God truly blesses you, there are no strings attached.
Yeah, come on.
Now, I can understand someone going out and getting a new car and having a nice payment. And you could say, I thank God for blessing me to have the ability to pay off this payment and afford this thing.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, that's not a gift from God if you got to pay for it.
You're right.
The gifts of God make it rich and have no sorrow to it. Amen. Oh. I'm thankful for the blessings and the benefits of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So glad to have my lovely wife with me tonight, as she always is. Appreciate her being a part of our ministry. This is our ministry. And I want her to sing tonight. Praise God. Sing. Worship with her as she sings.
Against the wall.
feel an appreciation.
Hallelujah.
I feel gladness. I feel a thankfulness in my soul for what God has done.
Hallelujah.
And I think you can make it right there. Maybe you weren't out in sin. Maybe you were a pretty good person. But I'll tell you what, I was in sin. I was out of the shepherd's fold. And I needed grace. And I needed mercy. I needed the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So Lord, God's so good to us. Amen. Once again, it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate you being here. Good to see some that have been absent the past few days, but that were here Sunday. Some that haven't been able to be here at all there in this revival, and you've made it tonight. I'll tell you what, as I said last night, I don't feel like with God there is anything that is by chance. Everything that God does is providential, it's on time, and it's purposeful. That means if somebody broke down on the way here and they're not able to be here tonight, that means that they cannot be here and you are. So therefore, God has a word for you tonight. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, just go to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. Once again, so grateful to be here. Thank you for all of your giving, all of your kind accolades and thoughts and prayers towards us. The Lord is so good to us.
Yeah.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's word tonight. Luke chapter number 22. We're going to begin reading in verse number 31. If you're able to stand, let's stand. Luke 22 and 31. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you.
Yeah.
That he may sift you as wheat.
Yes. Come on.
If you're ever going to do anything for the kingdom of heaven, you better believe the devil's not going to be happy about it. I'm not going to read my text, but I'm going to tell you right here. Yes, I know that the blessing of the Lord make you rich and out of no sorrow. But I know that in His presence is fullness of joy. I know it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But when you get ready to make a move in God's direction, you're going to encounter satanic forces and powers. They're going to try to stop you.
Come on.
Family is not going to like it if they're not saved. Your boss is not going to like you telling him, no, I can't work late Wednesday night. I've got to go to church. Or Tuesday night, praise God. The devil's not going to like it. Jesus told Simon Peter here, the devil hath desire to have you. Not to hurt you, not to buffet you for a moment. He wants your soul.
Right.
Hallelujah. That he may sift you as wheat.
Amen.
Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in one place that Christ sits on the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
And he makes intercession for his people. Jesus said, I've already prayed for you. Oh, I'm already preaching here, and I haven't even asked you to pray. I'm already preaching here. And he said, I've already prayed for thee, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not, or fail not. And when thou art converted. I want you to notice that right there. That your faith fail not. But notice he says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. What does that mean? At some point or another, you're going to become unconverted. But I've already prayed for you, and that when you become converted again, oh, hallelujah. I know we preach against this once saved, always saved doctrine, but I'm going to hit the nail on the head right here. Just because you were saved at some point in your life does not mean you can't fall out of grace.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to read it one more time. The Bible says that Jesus said in the red letter King, King James Version of the Bible, I'm going to have you pray. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Could you lift your hands toward heaven? Pastor, listen to the word of prayer.
God, we ask you to come touch my brother. God, as he preaches the word tonight, God, is to be instant in season and out of season. Use this word from the pastor congregation to be able, God, for the wording of the evangelist to touch our hearts, to help us along this way. And anything you have for us tonight, we just thank you for it. Lord, touch Brother Dow, hide him away behind the cross of Calvary tonight, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Touch him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Touch him, Lord.
As I said a while ago, this is not going to happen without a fight.
Wow. Yeah.
Paul said in one place to fight with the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
And he said right behind that, and laid hold on salvation.
Yeah.
I want to tell somebody right here tonight from the sound of my voice, if you want salvation and all that comes with it, if you really want it, you cannot be denied it. When God's grace and His Spirit draws. There's not a devil in hell. There's not a drug. There's not a demon possession. There's not one habit, one issue, one past fault, or failure. Including things that you did 34 or 35 years ago.
Come on,
brother. That on your record today.
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
You can't help those things. But God can forgive you of those things. When you find yourself at the end of life's road, and at the end of life's rope, I want you to know something very specific is going to happen. All the things that you work for in the carnal are going to mean nothing.
Right.
Right.
Every single thing you've ever done is going to burn up with a fervent heat. Every dollar you've made, every single set of shoes you've purchased, every car you've driven, every house you've paid
for,
all the 401ks, all of the retirement savings, every single situation in your life is going to burn up.
Amen.
With the exception of one thing, and that's your eternal soul.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Lord, hallelujah.
Help him, Lord.
When you deal with situations of life, you cannot deal in the carnal, you cannot deal in the reasoning of the mind, you cannot deal in the reasoning of the carnal heart. The Bible says that the heart of man and the mind of man is exceedingly wicked.
Right.
You can know it is what the Bible says.
Right.
Only a fool will follow after what they feel.
Come on, brother.
If truth be known right here tonight, there are people sitting on these pews that have scars on their life.
Yeah.
Because at some point they got messed up and mixed up in emotion.
Come on, brother.
Got messed up and mixed up in what felt good.
Amen. Come
and
on,
what brother. Looked good.
Yeah.
And what tasted good. Oh, come on.
Come on,
preacher.
except the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean right here tonight? It doesn't matter if you used to be something that you are abhor. It does not mean or means that you may be used to something that you now look back on and feel like you are so ashamed of. Could I tell you, those saints, once they're under the grace of God, they no longer matter. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. You can walk away tonight with the grace of God upon your life.
Amen.
Come on.
You can't purchase a gun because of your past.
Uh-oh, come on.
You can do some things, such as vote, because of the mistakes that you've made in your life.
No, brother.
Your children look on you, and in the backside of your mind, you know when they think of you at times, they're ashamed of what you've done. But could I tell you, despite past failures, there's faith for the moment and help for the future. I said, in spite of past failures, there's faith for the moment and help for the future. Somebody lift your hands all up in this house. Let's give God praise right here in the middle. Father, we love you. Father, we pray. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Peter, you deal with an individual who has felt and experienced some of the greatest graces and experiences any individual has seen in their life.
Come on.
When you deal with Peter, you deal with a man that God chose to be a part of his inner circle.
Yes.
He had 12 disciples, one of which was a devil, the Bible says that Christ called him, but three of which were so close that he took them up on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes.
When the Spirit of God was upon him, and he spoke with the prophets of old.
Yes.
And Peter saw him in his glory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter was one of the ones that was sent out to do the bidding of the Lord.
Right.
Peter was one of the ones that was in the very circles and witnessed firsthand what God had done and what God did in the opening of the blinded eye, in the seeing the lame to walk, in the seeing the dead to raise. I believe he was one of the ones who helped roll the stone back right when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." But in spite of seeing so much, and in spite of experiencing so much, he was not above what the enemy had set for him. There was a trap set by the devil himself to get this man of God and to take him out.
Come out.
You better believe of an assurity right here tonight, my friend. Just as sure as God raises up an Elijah, the devil raises up an Ahab. Just as sure as God raises up a David, the devil will raise up an Absalom. You better believe what I'm saying right here. Just as sure, as God raised up a Peter, the devil said, "I've come to put him in a trap. I've come to get his soul." Life's way, you better make sure you look out for the traps. You better make sure you look out for the things that the enemy has laid at your steps.
Come on.
Amen. Bible tells us that Peter at times got things so right. Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 6, Jesus went across a body of water there. And the Bible says the people rose up to follow after him and could not find him. The Bible says that they took small ships and together they went across that body of water
right
over there and found Christ where he was.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, heavenly Holy Ghost.
Touch him, Lord.
God bless you.
And the Bible says at that point in time, he told them, you've been following me for the fishes
and the loaves. That's right.
But if you'll read John chapter number 6, it's the first time recorded in the book of John where Christ reveals who he is and how that he's not just a good teacher. He's not just another individual man of God. He is the Son of the living God. And can I tell somebody right here tonight, you better recognize that if a bread or a fish will keep you here, a bread or a fish down the road will get you there. If your experience is that shallow, you need to pray through.
Amen.
Come on.
I hope you're picking it up, praise God. The Bible says that when he began to tell them in John chapter number 6 who he was and how that he had come not just to teach them, but he had come to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Oh yes, the Bible says that many turned around that day, Brother Irvin, that had been following him and followed him no more. And Jesus, the Bible says, turned to his disciples and said, will you also go away?
Right.
Now notice what Peter says.
Right.
He says these words, to whom shall we go?
Right.
Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Glory to God.
Woo! Peter got it right, y'all. Yes. I said Peter got it right. Yes. To whom shall we go? Could I just press the pause button right here on my message? I come to tell you right here tonight, in the pause of this sermon, you can't run to drugs, you can't run to the government, you can't run to Allah, you can't run to Satanism, you can't run to humanism, you can't run to socialism, and I definitely can't run to President Biden. You have to run to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. As I resume here, a man who got it so correct there, the Bible tells us, and I did not read it, but the Bible tells us right here that what Christ prophesies. Hey, I'm preaching up here.
Come on.
I'm preaching up here. Put that cell phone down. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. We're in the holy house of God. This is holy ground. This is God's holy church. Hallelujah. If you got to handle something, go outside. This is where God's speaking at. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's too hard, brother. You sent me now. Hallelujah. I come to preach tonight. I didn't come to mince words. I come to tell somebody about the grace of God. Up here to bone my lips together and take an offer when I go home. I come to preach to somebody about your everlasting soul. And you better make sure you hear the message tonight. Don't tell them a son. You better make sure you hear what thus saith the Lord. Because God's speaking right here. Hallelujah. Jesus told Peter, the devil desired to have you and to sift you as wheat.
Right.
I'm not going to go into all the symbolism there. I don't have time to do all that. I'm sorry. But the gist of the matter is that Christ told Peter, the devil wants your soul.
Right.
I don't care if you've been here 40 years, the devil's still after you.
You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right. The devil's still after you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the devil's still after you. Right. Oh, yes. But the Lord told him, Satan has desired to have you, to sit you as wheat. I can flip you over a few chapters to the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Bible says after the Last Supper, Jesus went there to the midst of that garden to pray. And the Bible says he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood.
Yeah.
To surrender his will to the will of the Father. But while he prayed, the devil was having his way, and Judas, along with all those others, was coming in to get him. And when I tell you this, it may blow your mind, but Peter didn't even see it coming.
My. Come on. My.
You're not going to see it when the devil comes in.
All right.
The Bible says he disguised himself as an angel of light.
That's right. You're right.
The Bible says he walked about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
You're right.
Have you ever seen a picture or maybe a video of a lion when they're stalking their prey?
Yeah. Come on.
You've not got to have a special kind of glasses to see that thing. It's so camouflaged. It looks so much like the surroundings that it's in. And that antelope or that deer at the last minute of jump, but by then it's too late because they didn't even see it coming. But I tell you right here, you may think, hallelujah, you may think you're super spiritual. You may think you got it all figured out. But I tell you, young lady, the devil's got a trap for you. The devil's got a trap for you, young lady. You better watch out. It's not what it looks like. It's not what you perceive. You are in danger. I said you are in danger. The devil has a desire to seat you as weak. But I come to tell you right here tonight, you can survive the sifting. I said you can survive the sifting.
Come on.
He drew a sword.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to preach on why he had a sword. I'll leave that to another day. There's a reason why. I'll leave that to another day. I'm going to tell you right here tonight.
Glory. Lord.
Touch him, Lord.
When that trap is sprung.
Yes.
And your first reaction is carnality, you're in trouble.
Right.
I know I'm on live right now. I know I'm being broadcast across the internet. I recognize that, and I am careful and mindful of that. I received a phone call today. I'm going to be honest with you. If I had acted on it, flesh and carnality would have forever more had its way.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm saying.
For over an hour and a half this afternoon, my wife and I wept and prayed and cried in that room in there until heaven came down. Because we wanted to make sure we survived the sifting.
Come on.
I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not patting her on the back. I want to tell you, you can survive it if you want to. You can survive the sifting. You can go through it. You can come out on the other side. Your hand may go to that sword. You may reach for carnality, but you can back away. You don't have to go that route. You don't have to hear those things. You don't have to be a part of that crowd. You don't have to forsake the same Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Touch him, Lord.
We lift our hands all in the house right here. Let's ask God to have his way.
Thank you, Lord. Touch him, Lord. Use him, God. Use him, God. Holy Ghost, come by. Come on, brother.
One of them got so scared he ran out of his clothes.
What is said?
He ran right out of his clothes. He was so scared. Bible tells us that Judas came and he betrayed the Son of God.
Oh my.
With a kiss.
That's it.
I want to tell you right here tonight. There's danger in being in the presence of the Holy God and feeling the conviction power as it grips your soul and walking away from it. That's dangerous.
Amen.
I don't care if you look good, if you
somebody have a law preacher out here. Oh, hallelujah. I said God knows it right here. Praise the Lamb of God. And the Bible tells us that Christ is the door. I'm going to tell you right here that Judas was so far gone that he kissed the door to heaven and walk straight through the door to hell. But I tell you right here, you can be this close. You can be this close until until tears begin to stream down your face, until you feel like it's my time, it's my time. And if you don't respond to it, if you don't do what thus saith God, if you don't surrender your heart and your life, if you're not careful, you'll kiss the very door to heaven. You'll get so close, you can feel the power as it reaches down to you, and you'll turn around and walk right into the gates of hell. All because you're convinced in your mind that you're right, and you won't let anybody else tell you anything else. I come to tell you right here tonight. Amen. You may never admit it in this life, but when God opens the book, the Bible says that every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You may never admit that you're wrong now. You may never admit that you're in sin now. You may put a racer over it. You may put a cloth over it. You may say, I don't see anything wrong with it. There's nothing to be done about it. I can do this, and I can get to God's heaven. What's the book say about it?
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Have your way, Lord.